Good afternoon, everyone. I will call back to order the meeting that we had adjourned yesterday to the, or we had recessed to the call of the chair yesterday. This is the House Finance Committee meeting in Juneau at approximately 12 noon on March 6th, 2014. Members present constituting the quorum are Representative Johnson, Representative Wilson, Representative Seaton, Representative Tarr, Representative Olson, and myself, Rep. Hawker, chairing at the request and certainly the privilege extended by our co-chairs, who all have excused absences to attend other resource energy-related matters. Today we're going to take up House Bill number 287, which is the Act approving and ratifying the sale of royalty oil by the state of Alaska to DeSoil Corporation. We also, as we go clear up housekeeping at the moment, we also have Representative Josephson sitting in the crowd, and that we have extra seats. If you would like to sit at the table, you're certainly welcome to. This is legislation that has been introduced by the House Rules Committee at the request of the governor. Bill will be presented by our good friend, Commissioner Designee Mr. Balash. Sir? And for members of the committee, our intention is to have the bill presented, public testimony. We will do the routine of looking for amendments and committee discussion, and it is our intention to move this bill today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, Commissioner Designee for the Department of Natural Resources. There is a slide pack presented here for the committee's consideration that I don't think we really need to go through in detail. I'd like to just give a quick summary and really jump into questions, if that might please the chair.
That would absolutely, I think, be appropriate here. It's certainly we could all talk about the background, but I think everyone in this committee is very well aware of what royalty in kind sales are, and we're really looking for an explanation of why we have the legislation in front of us.
Certainly. In the fourth quarter of 2013, the Division of Oil and Gas, Department of Natural Resources, entered into a sales contract with Tesoro to provide between 5,000 and 15,000 barrels per day of North Slope supply to Tesoro for their refinery that operates in the Nikiski area. Because it was a contract for less than 1 year, we were able to execute that contract and did not need to go through a legislative review. However, in further discussion with the operator, they expressed a desire to extend that contract. And so in order to extend beyond that 1 year, we needed to seek legislative approval for that extension. The price terms for this particular sale are a little bit different than the ones that before this body last year when considering the much larger volume for sale to Flint Hills in North Pole. Part of the reason for that difference is at least driven in part by the lack of specific special commitments. In the Flint Hills case, there were some special commitments made, therefore they got a higher deduction off of the total price than we see here, and it's about a 20-cent difference. The other terms are largely the same as that other contract, with the exception of the volumes. So at this point, just a couple of highlights. The refinery there in Nikiski has been operating since 1969. It is the largest, most sophisticated refinery in the state. They manufacture ultra-low sulfur diesel. They're not the only refinery that does, but they make the most. They have a diverse product line that includes jet fuel to Ted Stevens International, a lot of gasoline, and as I mentioned before, the ULSD. The point that I would emphasize, if I could, is the nature of the jobs provided by a refinery such as Tesoro's. We have more than 200 high-paying positions in that operation, salaries and benefits that people can support a family on. And make a very helpful contribution to Alaska's economy. This is one of those opportunities to truly add value to the tremendous raw resources that we have here in this state. And refining is a business that I hope remains a part of Alaska's economy for some time. So, Mr. Chairman, I think with that, I'd turn it over to questions and see where it is folks might want to go with this conversation.
Commissioner Balazs, I just like your affirmation, and I am looking at the best interest finding, which has, I think, a couple of salient points in it here, that this is the October 24th, 2013 best interest finding and determination for the sale of Alaska North Slope Royalty Oil to Tesoro Refining and Marketing Company, LLC. There has, in fact, been a public comment period held for this. Before the publication of final finding and determination, the commissioner was required to conduct a public comment period of not less than 30 days. I see the note here that the comment period was held. It closed on September 23rd, and that, in fact, at that time, you've received no comments on this from the public, so we can, from our standpoint, not aware of anyone challenging this best interest finding on behalf of the department.
Mr. Chairman, that is
wrong choice of words, but it's challenging the department's best interest finding.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct, and in fact, we also, per the statutes that are in place here under 183, conducted a hearing with the Oil and Gas Royalty Advisory Board that also recommended the approval of this particular sales contract.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Further questions for Commissioner Balazs at this time? Representative Tarr, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just have a question. You did mention the Flint Hills refinery, and now with that closure, does that have any impact on this contract? In terms of volume, would there be potentially more than the 15,000 barrels per day volume available for this now?
Through the Chair, Representative Tarr, the specific negotiation on the volume for this contract was somewhat limited because of the sale of royalty to Flint Hills. So in both contracts, we do have a proration clause in the event, for whatever reason, we wind up short on royalty production. We are able to reduce the volume we're selling to either or both refineries. As the information related to the Flint Hills closure continues to be digested and understood, it's important to note that the contract that was approved for Flint Hills, that is that larger volume, is still in place, and that we have received the first notification of a zero barrel requirement under the contract. And if we receive three zero barrel nominations from Flint Hills, three monthly nominations in a row, then the contract terminates. So it would be mid-second quarter, late second quarter of this year that contract would run its natural course and terminate, freeing up those royalty barrels for selling to a different party, perhaps even to Tesoro.
Thank you.
And thank you very kindly, Representative Tarr. Representative Wilson, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The initial quantity range, there was a clause in there that said it may be adjusted after 12 months with commissioner approval. But wasn't the contract for just 12 months?
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, the initial contract, yes.
And this contract?
This is an extension and further authorization. We are presently investigating with Tesoro whether and how we might increase the volumes if, in fact, there are additional royalty volumes available. But we've not closed on anything in that regard yet.
Please continue, ma'am.
Now, I was under the understanding that this was just another contract for another year. Am I wrong in my estimation of that?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, I believe this contract runs through 2016, if memory serves correctly. So we're in 2014. It would be approximately 1 additional year. I believe that's correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. So the fact that it says the commissioner can change those amounts after 12 months is a little bit moot, isn't it?
Well, through the chair, Representative Wilson, I think in this case, what we would be looking at is an opportunity after the first year has run, we could make a change in the second year, because this is in effect now a 2-year contract.
Please continue.
So we are adjusting the so it's not, we're not renewing the same contract. We've made some changes so that there are changes to this contract.
The through the chair, Representative Wilson, the initial contract was just 1 year.
Right.
We then have entered into a new contract, a that extends by that period in an additional year, and we then have the latitude to increase the volume after the first 12 months. And I do have staff from the Division of Oil and Gas online that might be able to spot check my answer to that question. So, Mr. Chairman, if that would be all right to just make sure I've stated it correctly. I want to make sure the committee has the right information.
And thank you, Commissioner. At that online for questions, we do have Kevin Banks, the Department of Natural Resource Division of Oil and Gas, and Matt Snodgrass, DNR Division of Oil and Gas. Would either one of you gentlemen like to confirm the comments made by your commissioner?
Or correct.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Kevin Banks on the line. And yes, Commissioner Balash has correctly stated that the initial contract period was for 1 year. There is a term in that that 1 year agreement that talks about readjusting the volumes. It is something of a vestige of the contract that we also have with Flint Hills. But the it was intended to give in the Flint Hills case, an opportunity for Flint Hills to reduce volumes, because that seemed to be a bigger issue for them. In this case, it is a clause that actually doesn't have effect in a one-year term. Now that we've added the second term, or we would like to be able to add a second term, it will give us the opportunity to adjust the volumes up or down, depending on the needs expressed by Tesoro.
And Representative Wilson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And I just wanted to make sure that we were not renewing, just automatically saying, okay, we're going to renew it again for one more year and have all the wording the same in the contract. So we may be renewing it for a year, but we've changed some of the language in the contract. Am I correct?
Through the chair, Representative Wilson, actually, the only difference in the new one-year addition contract is the language that changes the dates. There's the original contract and all of the terms except for the dates that the contract will run are identical.
And if I might, Mr. Banks, again, Representative Hawker here at the chair, what this is the bill before us authorizes an extension of the existing contract. So instead of it being the 1 year that they were able to enter into without legislative approval, extending the contract beyond that first 1 year requires our approval, and that's what's before us.
Mr. Chairman, that is correct.
Representative Wilson.
And I guess what I was saying that it now, and I don't know, I haven't seen the contract itself, the notes that I have says that it may be adjusted after 12 months with commissioner approval. And my concern is that they would be able to do that. I know it's understood that way, but sometimes when we say it's understood one way, but it doesn't say that, it says may be adjusted after 12 months with commissioner approval. So it doesn't say when that 12 months starts. And so if we're doing the same contract and it's up for starting to continue, it doesn't say, well, we're going back to the first contract at the beginning and saying we've got 12 months gone by, and so we can do it now. Because some attorney may say, wait a minute, we have extended this, and so from the date we extended it, perhaps it says it may be adjusted after 12 months. I just want to make sure that it says what we really want, what we intend it to say. I don't have a question with what it says, but I just want to make sure that there's not unintended consequences because of that.
So, Mr.
Banks, understand
Bank,
where I'm saying, where I'm coming from?
Yep, Mr. Banks, I'd ask, could you really kind of clarify for our record that extension or that change provision that is in the contract and how you are, in direct response to Representative Wilson's question, that it does in fact say what you intend it to say?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity. And through the chair, Representative Wilson, I'll read from the language in the contract. The buyer may elect to reduce the initial sale oil quantity by giving notice. The initial sale oil quantity shall remain as stated for 12 months after the day of first delivery. So that 12-month period that you're concerned about is triggered by the delivery of oil under the existing original contract. So if there's to be a change to reduce the amount of oil, that will occur after January 1st, 2015. And then the commissioner has the right to approve or deny that, as the case may be. And it is specifically built into the contract to reduce the amount, not necessarily to increase it. But that, I think it is saying exactly what and should resolve the concerns raised by Representative Wilson.
Yep. Representative Wilson, ma'am.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I agree that because I didn't have that information in front of me, that's what I was worried about. So it sounds like that is covered when it says it go back to the initial, you know, so.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now just kind of putting these dates together, I'm just thinking, you know, we're in the situation where, say, there's 3 months that go by and then that will effectively eliminate the contract with Flint Hills, which would mean that, you know, there would be royalty oil to get to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the way it's written actually delays the opportunity to make adjustments to the contract till January 1st, 2015, isn't there going to be some time potentially in between that where, I mean, we would have the opportunity to go out and look for someone else, but we wouldn't be able to make changes to this existing contract.
Through the chair, Representative Tarr, I think the opportunity, that sort of gap that you're referring to, is very likely going to require us to enter into a second contract with Tesoro in order to sell them additional volume above 15,000 barrels per day.
Got it.
Because the adjustment provision only allows us to go down.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Further questions this time? Well, hearing see none, we will open public testimony. And online, we have Mr. James Tenjaro of Tesoro. I believe he's the vice president of the Kenai Refinery, who would like to testify on this bill. Mr. Tenjaro, are you available?
I'm online.
Sir, would you like to give us your testimony?
I would. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I do have a letter. I think you all have a copy of that. And I can read that letter, but it definitely Mr. Balash hit most of the key points in that letter. So if you want me to just answer questions, I can, or I can go through this letter that Tesoro submitted.
Well, Mr. Tinjaro, actually, I thank you very much. We do have a letter, and we don't need you to read it because it is part of the record. But could you make an affirmative extemporaneous comment on our record of either your support or your disagreement with the legislation that's before us?
I can. The letter and it says it too, but we support House Bill 287, and we urge you to support it as well. The points that Mr. Balash made of our refinery to ride on, mm-hmm. We've been here 45 years. We have no plans to be elsewhere, and that we're a big part of the community here and want to stay that way. This House bill that extends the contract gives us a firm supply of ANS crude and the flexibility to operate the refinery efficiently. So it's really important to us, and we strongly urge your support.
And thank you, Mr. Tinjaro. I think my own staff's work in reviewing the best interest findings even states that you folks actually supply like 35% of the jet fuel used at Ted Stevens International Airport.
It's that or a little higher, sir. Yeah.
Okay. And thank you. And then I also believe you provide 60%. Again, this is coming from the best interest finding, but it's a 60% of the gasoline consumed by Alaskans. So I only put that on the record to indicate how important it is of us. Commercial service you provide to the people of the state of Alaska.
Well, thank you.
So, thank you, Mr. Tinjaro. Is there anyone else online who wished to provide testimony? Okay. Is there anyone in the room that would wish to testify on House Bill 287? Hearing see none, we'll close public testimony. That brings the bill back before the committee. Is there further discussion? What is the will of the committee? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move and ask unanimous consent that we move the House Bill 287 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And I would note that is an indeterminate revenue fiscal note, of course, because we do not know the value of the resource over time as the price fluctuates with the open market. The question before the committee is moving House Bill number 287 with the attached indeterminate fiscal note and individual recommendations. Is there objection? Hearing see none, so accomplished. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to bring before the committee today? Again, hearing see none, we will adjourn. Thank you.